This is The Agenda from News Radio 560, KPQ, and KPQ.com, where topics of local concern are open for discussion.
Thanks for joining us on The Agenda today, and we welcome our 8th District Representative Kim Schreier, who is paying a little visit here over to east end of the district. And, boy, you get to travel back and forth across Stevens Pass and I-90 here to visit both sides of the district. And welcome. Good to visit with you. The last time we met, it was Apple Blossom Parade, and I ran out to greet you on the parade route.
That's right. Well, it's good to be here, Dave. Thank you for inviting me, and I always love being in Wenatchee.
And you recently shared some news, kind of looking back over the busy past 6 months on some accomplishments and some news and things of importance here for the first 6 months in office, particularly for us here in North Central Washington. I know you wanted to share that, so let's get right to that. Maybe some of the highlights in your mind.
Well, first of all, I think of being a member of Congress kind of like being a parent, that these first 6 months have gone by so quickly. And on a day-to-day basis, those days can be really long, but it feels like it's just gone by incredibly fast. So I guess if I had to sum up these 6 months, I would say it's really nice to have somebody in politics who delivers on her promises. And so I would love for the people in Wenatchee and the 8th District overall to know that I ran on health care and keeping kids safe from gun violence and getting big money out of politics and bringing down the cost of prescription drugs. And I have delivered on all those things and more. And I'm really honored to represent you in Congress.
Tell us about your stronger child abuse prevention. Kids, you're a pediatrician, and tell us a little bit more about that legislation.
Yeah, I have to give you some background there first, because I'm the first pediatrician who has ever served in Congress, and I am right now the only woman doctor in Congress. And along the way, I think there were a lot of people who thought, well, who cares? You know, why do we need a pediatrician? Why do we need a woman doctor? And I had plenty of answers to that. But it's been really interesting to see that just in the past 6 months, we had a reauthorization of the improved CAPTA, Child Abuse Prevention and Treatment Act, that I got to lead on. And I think it is a perfect role for a pediatrician to say, you know, so much of child abuse is preventing it and giving parents the tools that they need to be effective parents and not lose their cool, to think about the fact that we're in the middle of an opioid epidemic, and also to teach people other than doctors and nurses to look for sentinel signs of child abuse so that you can catch more benign injuries and intervene early and protect children. So I got to take the lead on that, which was quite an honor. And I have to tell you, the other thing that was really gratifying is that a lot of my Republican colleagues came up afterwards and gave me pats on the back, handshakes, hugs, like, way to go. It's really nice to have legislation that everybody can get behind.
The lands package was signed into law by the president, of course, you worked closely with Congressman Newhouse on that as well. I know you're proud of that accomplishment.
Oh, yeah. That was another a real honor to work together with Dan Newhouse on that. This is for the betterment of the state of Washington, and the Yakima Basin Integrated Plan is a very forward-thinking plan on how to make sure that people, farmers, and salmon all have adequate water supplies in years of increasingly likely drought. And it is incredibly thoughtful, and I was so proud that that passed along with this big lands package that really has a win for everybody. But for us in particular, we had the Yakima Basin Plan. We had the Land and Water Conservation Fund, which is permanently reauthorized now, and that supports all of our public lands, and that matters so much here in the 8th District. And it also was, it turned the Mountains to Sound Greenway into a National Heritage Site, which is really exciting, too. So a lot of wins in there for the 8th District.
We were kind of looking back on the first 6 months or so in office for Representative Schreier here in the 8th District. We kind of maybe dodged a little bit of a bullet this year in terms of the fire season here in Central Washington, and I'm knocking on the countertop here.
You're knocking on floor mica.
It's
no,
not wood.
I'm going to knock on the chair right next to me right now. Knock,
that's
knock,
wooden.
Knock.
Yeah.
Yes, that's
well,
wood.
We kind of lucked out, but you were certainly trying to make put positioning in for equipment here. pay me now or pay me later. Sooner or later, we're going to have another bad summer fire season. Fortunately, it wasn't this year, but I know you're working on that.
I don't know that we're out of danger yet. We have a very long fire season, and I think we are always under this perpetual threat. I drive Blewett Pass and I-90 very frequently when I'm over here in Wenatchee, and I see a lot of tree crowding, dead trees. You know, this is really combustible material. And so we've done a couple really important things. One is that Rick Larson and I have requested and have now gotten authorized a study into how states obtain surplus military equipment, like helicopters, for example, that we can use for fighting fires. And we discovered when we looked into this that it is by no means fair the way that material is distributed right now. It has to do with how savvy the staff is. And so, and I'm not picking on Illinois, but, you know, Illinois was getting like thousands of dollars worth of equipment per acre burned, and Washington State was getting about $7 per acre burned. And that's just not right. We have so much more danger here. So this is to study it, to figure out how to make that distribution more equitable. And then the next step is to make sure that Washington State gets that equipment so we can fight fires. And then the other part is better fire detection, and that's why we have this GOES satellite, and we're repositioning radar to help find fires early. And then the last is just really responsible forest management so that we can have resilient forests.
I want to jump back into the health field again. We've had the mumps outbreak over, particularly in Clark County, was one of the hard-hit areas, and you worked closely to beef up vaccination rates as well. And some people, you know, when it comes to vaccines, they do not like that. They oppose that vehemently. But I know that as a pediatrician, you have a different perspective on that.
Well, I think my perspective on immunizations is pretty close to where the rest of the country is. First of all, I don't mean to be a stickler here, a measles outbreak. And the reason I point that out is that...
Did I say mumps?
You did, but that's okay. There's only one...
You're the doctor. You're the doctor.
There you go. So this was a perfect issue for me to tackle. Measles is highly contagious. And that poses a really big threat, because once it starts... the vaccine is 90 to 95% effective. So people who are immunized are generally protected, but not 100%. But we do have these pockets where people are not. And that's where we saw this outbreak really start and then spread. You know, what I've learned as a pediatrician is that most people are not fundamentally opposed to immunizations. Most people who have these concerns are what I would call vaccine hesitant. They just want to know more. They're just worried about doing the wrong thing. They've never seen measles. They've never seen polio. They don't know what pneumococcal meningitis is. And so to them, they are not really able to weigh risks and benefits, because all they can see is risks, and there's a lot of misinformation online. And so I have found, and again, this is in 20 years of practicing, that if you just sit down and you meet people where they are, and you listen to concerns, I managed to get really, really good vaccination rates in my clinic by bringing people along. And maybe they weren't doing it, you know, when I would love to have those babies protected, but we got those kids vaccinated. And that's why what is fundamental to my Vaccines Act that is coming up in the next month and a half is education. Looking for places where we have pockets that are not immunized. It's figuring out why. Is it that a doctor just closes practice and so now there's nobody to give vaccines? Or is it there's misinformation? And then it really targets that and can use all kinds of creative ways to do it.
We're talking with 8th District State Representative, Congresswoman Kim Schreier. Now, a year ago at this time, heated battle, and of course, there's a couple of people that I think there's one guy that's indicated, or at least maybe filed the paperwork to challenge you, but quite a different mood or situation than, of course, the big race with Nino Rossi. must be a much more relaxed situation for you right now, being the congresswoman and not having to be all caught up in the partisanship of running for the office. So how does that feel differently for you this year as opposed to a year ago?
Well, I don't know that I would call this job relaxing in any way, but it is really nice to devote myself to serving the 8th District. I am constantly learning, expanding horizons, meeting more people, becoming really adept at the issues, and working to serve as best as I can. So that's why I'm in Wenatchee so often. I'm in Ellensburg so often. I'm down in Pierce County because I want the people who were probably least had the least faith that a pediatrician from Sammamish could represent here, talking to farmers, learning the issues, going to bat, making sure we have a functional USDA that can do the research that can help our farmers succeed, and certainly to go to bat for them regarding having a functional worker visa program and getting rid of this tariff war.
We're talking with Congresswoman Kim Schreier. Let's talk about some of the partisan issues right now. We're, 5 months out from the Iowa caucuses, some of the debate issues right now, and whether or not President Trump is going against any of the candidates that are kind of leading the way right now, some of the issues that are out there. First off, when it comes to impeachment, there was an article in the Seattle Times this weekend that kind of I think they made the point that, and you wanted to kind of clarify, kind of where is your position on, along with other Democratic members of our congressional delegation, where you feel about an impeachment inquiry. So thought I'd pose that question to you as well.
Sure. I think this is a really important, important discussion to have, because what I have wanted all along is to protect the country and to have an informed electorate. So I want the people in the 8th District, when it comes time to vote in 2020, to be able to make a really informed decision. And regular congressional investigations into profiting off the presidency, possible money laundering, obstruction of justice, taxes, you name it, we're just getting stonewalled left and right. And you know, if we continue to have feet dragged and stonewall, then the American people will not have information to make an informed decision. And so seeing that, I believe that you can better your chances for getting information by calling it something different. In my mind, this is in part semantics and in part just a way to get to the information faster. So you call it an impeachment inquiry, which just means this means we get the information and we can get it to the American people.
Some of the items that we're hearing on the debate, the next one's coming up on the 12th. I think we're going to air that on KPQ. That's Thursday night. We would have to preempt a second night, but it looks like we're going to have 10 candidates. That'll be on Thursday the 12th. ABC's covering it. We're an ABC station, so it looks like we're going to have that debate here on KPQ. Some of the candidates, the leading candidates, have favored decriminalizing border crossings. What's your view on that? I know you won't be up on the stage, but what's your view on that?
Well, look, I think that the question alone is really getting into the weeds. And fundamentally, what all of them are saying is we just don't want families separated. And they're coming at it from different viewpoints. And so, you know, look, you have a border for a reason. And, you know, why would you bother having a border if you weren't going to have border security? So I think some of what they're talking about is really in the weeds. And the reason they're talking about it is that they don't want parents and children separated simply because a parent came in and requested amnesty.
Our guest is the Congresswoman Kim Schreier here in the 8th District. What about replacing a job or an individual private insurance, Medicare for all? Bernie Sanders is certainly proposing that. Can we afford that? That's health care, though. That's right down your alley. A lot of Democrats, though, are in favor of let's just continue to build upon or improve Obamacare. What's your view on that?
So my view on that is unchanged from during the campaign, and I'll get to that detail in a moment. But I think sometimes we have to take a step back and say, look, we could get into the weeds of every little iteration between each of the presidential, Democratic presidential candidates, or we could take a step back and say, look, the common viewpoint among all of those Democrats running is they want more access to more affordable care for more Americans, and they want to bring down the cost of prescription drugs. And I look at the other side, and the other side is intent on a lawsuit right now that would make the entire Affordable Care Act unconstitutional, which means if you like protections for people with pre-existing conditions, they will go away if that is declared unconstitutional. If you like being able to have your child on your health insurance till age 26, that'll go away. If you like being able to have free birth control, because that is something we could all agree on, that we want pregnancies to be planned to give every child their best shot at life, that will also go away. And so the fundamental difference there is a philosophical difference between wanting more people to get good coverage and wanting to scrap the whole thing. Now, in terms of where I stand, and I know I'm going on a long time on this, where I stand is that the people in the 8th District who have insurance through their employer, they like that insurance. They don't want to give it up. And that I, you know, as soon as you start asking questions like, well, would you still want Medicare for all if you knew you had to pay more taxes? Would you still want it if you knew this government was going to control? Would you still want it, under a variety of circumstances? I believe that the answer is shore up the Affordable Care Act, protect people with pre-existing conditions, bring down the cost of medications, and have a public option so that places like here, where you only have one insurance provider, there will be a little competition and a more affordable option.
Well, you've logged, was looking at this release that your office provided, nearly 68,000 miles. Is that the last 6 months alone? Those are some frequent flyer miles, but that's a lot of travel, about 3,800 miles driving just around the 8th District alone. That is a lot of traveling here in the 8th District. It's a big one.
It is a lot of traveling. We've now even done more miles, enough that we could cross the entire United States and then come halfway back again. So that's a lot of miles on the road. And I wish I had a good cure for motion sickness that would not make me sleepy, because I could get a whole lot more work done in the car if that were the case.
Yeah, I thought it was ginger or something. What's the motion sickness?
Ginger, wristbands, all those things. Nothing has worked, and I'm not...
The earlobe thing or something?
Yeah, like I don't know. Dramamine will make me too tired, so I just tough it out.
So when's the recess over, and when do you go back?
So I go back on the 8th, and we get hard to work right away. Hopefully the Senate will take up universal background checks for gun ownership, and there is... just as much urgency now as there was before. And when you have legislation that 90% of the American people want, gun owners, non-gun owners, Democrats, Republicans, I think that ought to come up for a vote, and we'll easily get 60 votes in the Senate.
We shall see. We shall see. All righty. Any final thoughts before we let you sneak on out of here to the next visit?
I just want to thank you for having me on today. The more opportunities I get to chat with the people in the 8th District, the better it is for everybody. I'm holding town halls all the time, and so if you'd like to come to one, please check my Facebook site, schreier@house.gov, because the more transparent and available I am, the better representative I'll be for you. And similarly, I do telephone town halls, and I have a new favorite, which is just popping in and introducing myself when I'm grabbing a coffee. So, Don't be afraid to tap me on the shoulder and say hello. I'd love to hear from you.
8th District Congresswoman Dr. Kim Schreier, our guest today on The Agenda.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560, KPQ, KPQ.com, and streaming on Alexa or the KPQ mobile app.
All right, it is time to get to our next guest, Jenny Rojanostian from GWADA. The Innovator Awards Luncheon is coming up soon. GWADA has moved, and we're going to talk about everything going on with the Greater Wenatchee Alliance Technology. I always get your acronym.
I know. It is a long one. It's the Greater Wenatchee Area Technology Alliance, and we just try to say GWADA.
I know. Let's just call you GWADA.
GWADA. It's a little bit of a different name, but we do try to serve more than just Wenatchee. We try to serve all of North Central Washington, and we just happen to be, our home is in Wenatchee.
You could be GWADA. Central Washington. There you go, Quata. Then you'd really sound like a piece of fruit.
Right.
Well, thanks for joining us. In fact, I understand you're going to have a little get-together with Representative Schreier here a little later on today.
We are. We're really excited for the opportunity to meet the representative and to share the work that we're doing in our community. So we want to thank Kelly and her office for arranging that meeting and the chance to tell her about technology and entrepreneurship and really about STEM education as well. So we're excited to share with her later on today.
Will she by a chance, and I don't want to give away her itinerary and stuff like that, you have new digs. And let's let folks know where Guada is now housed. You're down at the Mercantile.
We are. So after many years of being at the Confluence Technology Center in Old Station, which is a beautiful facility, we have moved to downtown Wenatchee just 2 weeks ago inside of the Mercantile, and which is a co-working space. And if you have not been in a co-working space, they're very popular for entrepreneurs, for technology-based companies, especially when they're smaller. So Guad is a three-person team. We obviously are not going to rent out a big office by ourselves, but we like that connectivity of being around other people, kind of that vibrant energy. So we are one of, I think, 15 who have an office inside of the Mercantile. So we have our own physical office. And then there are also individual desks that are monthly rentals. So people can come in if they're just working in town for a few months, do a temporary working arrangement. And then there's folks who come in and just as part of a flex desk, they come in for the day. So there's a lot of energy there with the 15 offices, the monthly rentals, and then the folks coming in from day to day.
And while we're kind of talking about what's there at the Mercantile, basically everything you need. So if we've piqued your interest, if you're an entrepreneur, just kind of been working out of the basement or in an office space in your home, this sounds like an opportunity for you. But I understand it's been very, very popular and space is at a premium right now. Are there any openings?
I don't think there's any offices that are open right now, but I believe they do still have monthly desk rentals and then the flex space. And I do want to give a shout out. There are two other co-working facilities in Wenatchee itself. So there is Wenatchee Workspace on Wenatchee Ave, right near Viscani's. And then there's Mission Street Commons, which is another co-working space. So even if your home isn't the Mercantile, there are now three different facilities in which entrepreneurs or people working remote can get out of that home office and get connected in Wenatchee.
What have you enjoyed about the new space there for Guada, at least for your purposes?
I think the first of all, I have to say I now park and walk in downtown Wenatchee, and to walk into work and see our downtown in action and people outside of Mela and, you know, the beautiful flowers that the Downtown Association have hanging, and at night, the lights. I mean, we have a beautiful downtown core. So just walking into work, I think, sets you up in a good mood. But we're a lot more accessible. So I think while we had a great location previously, to just be downtown, it makes it very quick for people to connect and so that we can serve. And that's our job as a nonprofit, is to serve business.
We're going to be talking about the Innovator Awards here in a moment. But before we get to that, real quick, with the new home for Guada, that means a new space for your Tech Talk and Happy Hour events as well. There's one right around the corner.
That's right. This Thursday at 5 o'clock, it's a free monthly event that Guada has hosted. It's Tech Talk and Happy Hour. You do not have to be a techie to come. You can be anyone in the community who just wants to engage and connect with new people. We usually have about 30 to 45 people who come to Tech Talk. We always have two different speakers, and by speakers, I mean they hang out at a table, they drink a beer, and they will share with you what they do for their job. So you can go up and introduce yourself, or you can just mix and mingle. And the new location, as you said, allowed us for a new spot for Tech Talk. So 5 o'clock, so we've changed the time, 5 to 6:30, again, free for anyone in the community. And it is all ages. So while we serve beer for those who are 21 plus, if there's a student who's listening today to the program and they want to meet some cool tech speakers, they're absolutely welcome to come join us.
Again, the Mercantile, the new location for Guana is at 14 North Wenatchee Avenue. And again, the Tech Talk and Happy Hour is this Thursday, if you'd like to attend. Who's your guest speaker?
Yes, so we have two speakers this Thursday. We have folks from Bitmain. They're located over in East Wenatchee. They're a blockchain company based out of Beijing with locations not only in East Wenatchee but other parts of the U.S. So they're going to share what their unique technology is, why they're in the community. So it's a great opportunity. That's not a facility you can just walk up to and go tour on the day-to-day. So if you've been interested in blockchain and Bitcoin and what Bitmain is doing here, come check them out. Then we also have folks from the technology department at Confluence Health. Dr. David Daniel, he does a lot of predictive analytics in healthcare and how they're using technology to make a positive impact on patient lives. So they'll be sharing some of the work they're doing at Confluence Health. So two very different speakers. That's one of the benefits of Tech Talk. It's always something new, something fun, and a different person to engage with.
Jenny Rojanostian, the executive director of Guada, is here, and the 2019 Innovator Awards Luncheon is coming up on September 25th. I was looking at your nominees, great group of folks, and it's time to get tickets. Tell us what this whole event is about. These are folks doing some amazing things in our community.
The purpose of the Innovator Awards is really to shine a light on those who are innovative, the game changers, those who are paving a path in our community. And as a nonprofit that focuses on a lot of education, sometimes we bring in outside resources so that we can educate our community. But this is about pausing to show all the people in our community doing the exciting work. And especially when you think about entrepreneurs or innovators in technology, sometimes these are the unsung heroes that are growing businesses that maybe don't have a giant corporate name and people aren't aware that they're growing jobs here, that they're really innovative, they're impacting our economy. So the Innovator Awards is a great time to spotlight some exciting new companies and some exciting individuals. So we have five awards, two are in business. Our three awards, our other awards are in education. That's a category we brought on about 5 years ago, was to recognize innovators in education. And we really focus in on the STEM spectrum there in education. So it's a lot of fun, and it's inspirational. You get to hear these stories. We get to help celebrate their successes and encourage those who are thinking about starting their own journey.
I was looking at some material that you have out. You've been doing this since 2000. I would bet that surprises many.
That's correct. So our luncheon is 19 years. We've been doing this for 19 years. Started with only one award. That was the Entrepreneur of the Year Award. And sometimes people ask, as the Technology Alliance, why entrepreneurship? And why that focus on business? And it's so often that our entrepreneurs, one, rely very critically on technology or coming from a technology-based company. But we didn't want to be just exclusive and say it's only in tech. And so for the Entrepreneur of the Year, these are companies that maybe are in tech or maybe just using technology to grow their company. But they have a really critical role in our economy, and we want to support them.
So we don't know who the winners are yet, or can you name names?
So here's what I can tell you. Today is September 3rd. This Friday, September 6th, we're going to announce the finalist in each category. So we'll have narrowed down the finalist. And then, as you alluded to, on September 25th, we're going to announce the winners live. The winners do not know who they are, not even members of our board or committees know. We keep that very secret. It's announced live, which makes the reward and the surprise on their faces really exciting to see. And, of course, though, we highlight all 50 of these nominees at the luncheon, regardless of their placement as a finalist or an award winner.
So how do you get tickets?
So tickets are open to the public. It is a luncheon event. It is 11:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. on Wednesday, September 25th. If you are a member of Guada, they are $40. If you are just a general public, $55. But there are over 165 businesses that have a membership to GWADA. So you can go on our website, and I'll just give a shout out, Confluence Health, very large employer, long-standing member of GWADA. So if you work for Confluence Health, that means you have a GWADA membership, and you can buy member pricing tickets. So sometimes people aren't even aware that they're a member and can tap in.
You have some great sponsors. I'm noticing people like Microsoft among them, and I don't want to get you in any trouble by leaving any names off. So
no, we want to thank Equilis Financial, Microsoft, People's Bank, and Stimult Growers for sponsoring the Innovator Awards Luncheon. We could not do this work without their generosity to our 501c3.
How are your nominees, made? Are these submitted from the community or through your membership?
Correct. Our nominees can be anyone in Chelan, Douglas, Grant, or Okanagan counties within their category. They are community nominated. And then the finalists and the winner are also selected by a community panel. So neither myself or the GWADA board selects the finalists or winner. That's all done through an independent committee. We just provide them with the information and materials, which means that this is truly an award that has come from the community. And I think that makes it even more meaningful that it was these nominations have come from a community member. Then we had about 20 people on our review panel. 20 people reviewed them and then selected and moved them forward through the process. So I want to thank those volunteers who served for us this year and the community members who submitted the nominations. The best part of my job is that I don't have to pick because they'd all be winners. All are very deserving.
Hard decision to make.
It is.
So, again, if you'd like to get tickets, take advantage of perhaps where you work. They may already be a GWADA member. You can get some of that member pricing. Get a table together. Maybe go as a group with your organization one way or another. And, again, GWADA.org for more information on this. I was just looking at your website, and you've got an interesting program that you're trying to get together for school kids where they can learn some basics about coding, and that's coming up in December. Tell us about that.
Yes, so in December, it's Hour of Code Week, and code.org is a website and a nonprofit that has a lot of coding resources to get kids engaged in computer science, mostly through games, and to kind of build up those skills and show them that pathway. Through GWADA and the Apple STEM Network and our partnerships with organizations like Microsoft, we have some resources where if schools want to put together an hour of code, we can provide them with a raffle prize and a stipend so they can buy cookies and juice and, you know, have a little bit of extra resources to host. What's unique about Hour of Code events is they're done at night, after hours, inside of schools. And the reason for that is so that parents and other members of the family can come and participate. And often we have a computer science professional there because the point of Hour of Code and computer science is to show that career pathway. We want kids to have fun, absolutely. So this is one way to do it. But by having the parents involved and to go to the school and see, oh, there's folks at Chelan PUD who are computer science professionals. There's a very viable career pathway. It's just another way for us to support and reinforce those.
Well, more information on all the great things going on with GWADA. That's GWATA.org, GWATA. Again, get your tickets for the Innovator Awards Luncheon. And be sure to check out Tech Talk and the Happy Hour at the Mercantile. You said mercantile, I said mercantile. Let's call the whole thing off. So that's coming up this Thursday. Again, the new home for GWADA. They've moved to 14 North Wenatchee Avenue, just down the street. And enjoy your walk back to the office. Nice sunny afternoon. And
I will.
Enjoy the new location downtown. Great spot to be. Seems like a perfect fit for you.
It is a great fit. And I want to thank you for allowing us to come on air today to talk about our programs and look forward to coming back again soon.
Yeah, we're going to see you real soon and give another reminder to get those tickets for the GWADA Innovator Awards Luncheon coming up on September 25th. Jenny Rojanosthy, the Executive Director for GWADA, our guest on the agenda.